Want to read verses of scripture. First is in the Psalms on page 766 in the Bible that I'm using. Psalms, Psalm 111, Psalm 111, and verse 10. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his precepts. His praise abideth forever. And then the book of the Proverbs, page 788. 788, Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Gospel according to Mark in chapter 1, page 1190. Verse 1 reads, beginning of the glad tidings of Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then the book of the Colossians, on page 1423, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And he is head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, firstborn from among the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to itself, having made peace by the blood of his cross. We'll notice that each of these sections speak about beginnings. We are at the beginning of another year. The preacher reminded us last week that there would possibly be people at the beginning of the year making New Year's resolutions. We're 4 days into a new year. For some, the new year has already finished. A business coach once said, just remember that today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Today, dear friend, you can make a decision which will not only affect the rest of your life, but it will affect time and eternity. And that, dear friends, is a question of whether you will accept God's invitation that we sang about in our hymn, O Come to the Saviour. You might think that you don't need a Saviour. You might think that you have led a good life, you've done your best. I once knew a man who said to me, he says, oh, I know that God will be fair. Dear friend, God will be fair, but he will also be righteous. And the question is that God's righteousness has been infringed by the incoming of sin. So, dear friend, in God's fairness, he has come out towards you to offer a way of salvation, a way where you might be made right with him. And it won't be by your own efforts, because your own efforts would never reach it anyway. Scripture tells us that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Think of that, you know. We might be able to look at our sins and recognize those that are filthy rags, but Scripture tells us that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, dear friend, first two scriptures we read spoke of the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of Jehovah being the beginning of knowledge. It's an amazing thing, you know. And I know I'm not the first person to have said this, but there is so much information available in the world. So much information. I mean, you can get your phone and you can Google anything and you'll get various amounts of information. But in another sense, you know, we live in a world where there is amazing ignorance. In particular, dear friend, there is an ignorance of God. God would seek to reveal himself to you tonight in the glad tidings. And he would seek to reveal his love to you. And he has done that, dear friend, by sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. What did he come for? Did he come to live a good life? Did he come to perform a number of miracles, some of which we were reading and speaking about this afternoon? Dear friend, he came primarily to this world to save sinners. That is why Jesus came, you know. Been a lot of celebration recently, hasn't there, about the incoming of Jesus. But dear friend, he came to save sinners. That's why he came. Beginning of the glad tidings of Jesus Christ, Son of God. You know, we need to remember, or we need to know and understand who Jesus is. Jesus was Son of God, but Jesus too was God himself, God manifest in flesh. Some seek to dispute that. They'll say, oh, he was a prophet. No, dear friend, Jesus was God himself. Only one who knew the awfulness and the penalty which had been brought in by sin could ever have paid the price of it. The only one who knew the cost, dear friend, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to make the love of God known. He came firstly to his own, and his own rejected him. But then he came to show God's love, in that he went that way which took him to Calvary's cross, that way where he, one who had known no sin, one who had walked a life of perfection, one who sin had absolutely no claim upon, and because sin had no claim upon it, upon him, death had no claim upon him either. But you know, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, was hung there. A spectacle, you might say, in a sense a curse. He took the curse in himself, you know. It says, cursed is anyone who hangs upon a tree. Think of those wicked hands that put those nails through his hands and his feet to put him on that cross. Think of the wickedness of the heart of man being aroused against Jesus. And bear in mind, this is one who had stood a so-called trial, and who the judge at the trial had said openly and publicly, I find no fault in him whatever. I find no cause of death in him. And Jesus went to that cross, and he bore sin's penalty. Sin's penalty. Not just the penalty, dear friend, of your sins. If you could count up your sins, think of the cost of them. I doubt anyway whether many of us could get very far in counting our sins. I certainly know I couldn't. But it wasn't just my sins that Jesus took to the cross. It was my sins, but it wasn't just my sins he took to the cross. He hung and suffered there, the sin bearer. He bore God's judgment of sin in his body on the tree. A time so awful, dear friend, that the scene had to be clothed in darkness so that the inquisitiveness of man could not see what went on. It was a secret transaction, you know, when the Lord Jesus became the sin bearer and he died, says he gave up his spirit. People sometimes talk about a battered, broken body hanging on the cross with its life ebbing away. I don't find that thought in Scripture at all, dear friend. Yes, it says all my bones are out of joint, but it also says not a bone of him shall be broken. The Lord Jesus gave up his life. Man didn't take it from him. He gave up his life, dear friend, that you and I might gain life, might gain eternal life, might gain a knowledge of a holy and righteous God without fear, without let, without hindrance, because we can know that the penalty has been paid, and it has been paid to God's satisfaction. Because though Jesus died, though he gave up his life, though he was put into the tomb, 3 days later he was raised again by the glory of the Father, and he's now seated at his right hand. We read, who is the beginning, firstborn from among the dead. Yes, dear friend, because the Lord Jesus has been into death, tasted death's bitter waters, been into the tomb, he's no longer there. God raised him from among the dead. So we can preach not a dead Christ, we can preach a living Christ. We can preach one who has died. We can preach one who has taken away the penalty of sin for all who will put their faith and trust in him. Are you amongst them, dear friend? Are you amongst them? Do you know what it is to trust in Jesus and no one else? Or is there a little bit of you that's holding on to something of your own goodness and self-righteousness? Dear friend, set that aside. Set that aside and put your faith and trust wholly and only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the beginning, firstborn from among the dead. You know, this beginning hasn't ended either. Time coming when the Lord Jesus will come back to this earth to call all those who love him to be with himself. Will you be amongst them, dear friend? Will you be amongst them? One of Satan's biggest lies, dear friend, is to try to convince you that death is annihilation. Scripture tells us that death is not the end. After death, the judgment. All will be raised. Every single person will be raised. Those who love Christ will be raised to meet him in the air. Those who have rejected the message of salvation will be raised to meet him as a judge. Tonight, dear friend, you can make a difference to the outcome of that. You can trust him and be raised with those in the first resurrection, those who are waiting for him. If you reject him, you may not be given another opportunity. Think of all those youngsters who were gathered in that bar in Switzerland. The revelry going on turned to tragedy in seconds. No time to make a change then. Dear friend, tonight, today, God would appeal to you. Says somewhere, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Dear friend, I trust that you will soften your heart tonight. Let Jesus in. Accept him as your saviour. Own your sinnership. Own your sinnership before God. That's all that God requires. God requires that you come to him in repentance and accept his salvation. His salvation, which is offered through Jesus Christ. But it is only offered because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken and paid the penalty of sin. It's available to you tonight, dear friend. Don't reject it. Don't reject it. It may be too late if you do. Just close with that appeal, dear friend, that you might come to Jesus and trust him as your own personal saviour, for his name's sake.